Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahuwah Radio. Is now on the air. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series we just got through completing with Sonny all the way down, and yet be down in 3 more minutes. And track then get on down the road on some old just says Yahuwah. We're doing a series called Coming to Exile, Biblical Scholarly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, from birthplace to east, now majority of them in the west. The children of Israel, birthplace is from the east. From east all the way to west. No dividing land between east and west. That is the children of Israel lot. From the far east you go, far west you come. That is the children of Israel. Boundary line. And so we welcome you all on this broadcast. And the number one thing,
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from
any
Friday night sundown
to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Devon. Before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
Yes.
is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith,
yeah.
your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are
yeah.
in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to mm-hmm. be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom
yes.
and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see
yeah.
Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, I'm sorry
yeah,
to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with
yes.
Will Smith,
yes.
you say to them,
yeah.
look, I have to have the Sabbath
yes.
off,
yes.
which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week.
Yeah.
Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job
yeah.
with Will Smith
yes.
and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it wasn't...
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to, literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land,
yeah,
hey, it's
that.
All good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown or Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was
wow.
it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am,
wow.
it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet, tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens,
yeah.
then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God
Whoa,
has opened
boy,
for you
moment.
Will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, we are live on take number 36. And I hear her came back into the room, so we were going to get something going on take number 36. Now, one thing, the seven-day feast is still in progress right now until the sunset. So we'll touch on a little bit of that because they got a little bit more to let you know exactly what happens after the unleavened bread. What is the next piece coming up? And we'll go through that shortly. So we do want to bring our elder in, and we're going to get something going on tape 36. Live broadcast. Today's date is 4th month, 21 day, 2024. Y'all probably be with y'all. And we're going to bring our elder in and get something going on tape 36. So when you meet the elder,
God bless you, Sir Israel. I see you, Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We might touch on a little bit on what will happen and what's going to happen after you get through our leavened bread. So we might want to talk about a little bit of that. After we see which way to go in Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's keep this on our table there. Elder, come up.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
In that very same hour, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you ought to think. And I believe that, no doubt about it. So if that's the case, Elder, in Psalms chapter 51, but the Holy Spirit going to make it plain that something, that he came, the angel came down from heaven, take number 36, 421, 2024, the angel came down from heaven in 51:10, and he made a profound statement looking David eyeball to eyeball and said, what? Now, in fact, David, he was speaking through David's mouth in a prayer. And what did David say in 51:10? Now, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse number 10 reads, book of Psalms 51, verse number 10. Book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse number 10 reads, Psalms 51, verse number 10 reads, create in me a clean mind, O Yahuwah, and renew a right spirit within me.
Mm-hmm. The right spirit be looking for those that got a clean mind. And then you put your petition on the table. But you have to make sure you examine yourself according to 119 verse 8. What is it saying in Psalm 119 verse 8, Elder?
Book of Psalms 119 verse number 8 reads. Book of Psalms 119 verse number 8. Psalms 119 verse 8 reads. Book of Psalms 119 verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, or forsake me not utterly. Verse number nine. For with all shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word.
Mm-hmm. So, when you ask Yahuwah to clean up your mind, you got to make sure you're doing his word. Now, when you're doing his word, when you got that 1-2 part, then you're asking something, but make sure you're doing the word. Numbers 32, verse 23, would say, Elder. Numbers 32, verse 23.
Look at Numbers chapter 32, verse number 23 reads. Look at Numbers 32, verse number 23. The book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse number 23 reads, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahuwah, and be sure your sin will find you out.
And one thing about it, your sin is going to find you out. So when you ask Yahuwah to do something for you, you got to make sure that your mind is clean. That's in him. That means whatever sin you got, stick the sins in the back of your head, and all that, he will back away from you. Matter of fact, in 113 of Rebecca, makes it plain how he operates. He makes it plain in Rebecca chapter 1, Elder, how he operates according to 113.
The book of Rebecca, chapter 1. Verse number 13 reads, book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Verse number 13. Habakkuk, chapter 1. Verse number 13 reads, Habakkuk 1, verse 13. There are few eyes than to behold evil. Against thou look on sin. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously. And behold, and holdeth thy tongue, when the wicked devise a man that is more righteous than he.
Mm-hmm. So he said, now, if you got any of that wickedness in you, Yahuwah gonna see it through it from the get-go, and he gonna dumbfound you all the way if you got any wickedness in you. So when you go to the altar, make sure you check and see you got a clean mind. Then put your petition on the table. Then he will hear. That's how he operates. So that's a great understanding about it. A lot of people want to meet Yahweh the way they want to meet Yahweh, but Yahweh meets you and me in a page of his book. That's how he operates. And statement there, Elder. Look Moses eyeball to eyeball and told Moses exactly how he operates in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, 6, and 11. He looked Moses eyeball to eyeball, and he was speaking to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, 6, and 11. And what did he say to him in 3, 6, and 11?
Because Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. Verse 6 and verse number 11 reads, Book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 reads, And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did your fathers know, that he may make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh, the man live. Verse number 6. And for thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. Verse number 11 reads, Beware that thou forgettest not Yahweh your Yahweh, and not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day.
So in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, Elder, so 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, let's see if we tie that in with what we got on the table so far in 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 20.
Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse number 20 reads, Book of 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Yahweh Judah, and you inhabitants of Yahweh Judah. Believe in Yahweh, your Yahweh, so shall you be established. Believe in seers, so shall you prosper.
Then the angel came down again and looked David eyeball to eyeball in 11 verse 3 of Psalms, Elder. And he said something to David to put in writing in 11 chapter verse 3 of Psalms. And what did he say to tell David to put in a book? 11 verse 3, what did he say?
The book of Psalms chapter 11 verse number 3 reads, If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
The righteous is the Torah of people. You can't do nothing if you don't have your foundation. So when we read Acts 15, verse 15, so when you read Acts 15, 15 without a foundation, you're going to be all over the place. So Acts 15, 15, if you got your foundation, when you hear Acts 15, 15, you just continue to keep on moving down the road. Acts chapter 15, verse 15 says like,
The book of Acts 15, verse 15 reads, And to this agree the words of the seers, as it is written.
You see that? So when these verses come up, you understand exactly the proper roadmap, sound information. And what the children of Israel say behind that when you precept that to Numbers 154, the elder? Let's precept that to Numbers 154.
Book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse number 54 reads, Book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse number 54. Numbers 1, verse 54 reads, The family of Israel did, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did they.
Yeah. So once Moses put the word out, because Moses was instead of somebody and he was in the state of somebody there, Elder. In 7th chapter, verse 1, Moses had a pretty good position. And let's find out what kind of position Moses had and what kind of position his brother had. We're going to Exodus 7, verse 1. What kind of position was Moses had and his brother in 7, verse 1?
The book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1 reads, Yahweh said unto Moses, I have made you a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your seer.
Is that? So Yahweh has set the order up exactly the way he wants it to be. Moses, you be instead of me, you be the Yahweh to the children of Israel, and Aaron will be your seer. So let's watch some of this action in motion, Elder. Let's watch some of this action by going to Numbers 3, verse 1. And we'll skip down to 3 now to verse 10, 40 to 45. And we'll take a look at 58 to 51. Let's take a look at this operation after Yahweh has set up. By Moses will be the seer in the days of the children of Israel. And Aaron, Moses will be the Yahweh, and Aaron will be the seer. So we're going to watch exactly what happened next behind that. The order thing. Numbers chapter 3, verse 1. Get down to 3 down to verse 10. 40 to 45. 48 down to verse 51. Let's learn something on the way of learning something. And we see Mother Eve coming on stage. See, I want to holler on that mic right after this feast is over with. Let me holler on that microphone a little bit too. So here, let's see what got written in Numbers chapter 3, verse 1, 3 down to verse 10, 40 to 45, 48 to 51. And Mother Eve, tell me that, Leviticus 23, we're going to take a look at what happens right after you close out the unleavened bread. We got to be clear about what the next step to do after you close out unleavened bread. We're going to find out exactly what you do when unleavened bread over. It's something that's supposed to be done immediately, so I'm setting up some things. And verse 15 there, Mother. So have me that 15 waiting on me. Leviticus 23, verse 15, we're going to check out something. What you do after you complete the 11 bridge. We got a little song left that's not properly all the way over yet. So we'll take a look at Numbers 3, verse 1, 3 through 10, 40 through 45, 48 to 51. Hey, Israel, you're on the clock, come out.
Book of Numbers, chapter 3, verse number 1, verse 3 to 10, verse 40 to 45, verse 48 to 51 reads. Book of Numbers, chapter 3, verse number 1 reads. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses on the day that Yahweh spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. Verse number 3. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. Verse number 4. And Nadab, Abihu died before Yahweh, when he offered strange fire before Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. Verse number 5. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 6, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron, the priest, that they may minister unto him. Verse 7, they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation, before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. Verse number 8, they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. Verse number 9. Thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the family of Israel. Verse number 10. Thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Verse number 40. Book of Numbers 3, verse number 40 reads, and Yahweh said unto Moses, now all the firstborn of the males of the family of Israel, from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Verse 41, and thou shalt take the Levite for him. I am Yahweh instead of all the firstborns among the family of Israel, the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the family of Israel. Verse 42. And Moses numbered, as Yahweh commanded him, all the firstborn among the family of Israel. Verse 43. And all the firstborn males by the number of names, from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. Verse 44. And the family of Israel spake unto Moses, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 45, take the Levites instead of all the firstborns among the family of Israel, the cattle of the Levites instead of the cattle of the Levites instead of the cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am Yahweh. Verse number 48 reads, Numbers chapter 3, verse 48, and I shall give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. Verse number 40. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Verse number 50. Of the firstborn of the family of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels, after the shekels of the sanctuary, temple. Verse 51, and Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yahweh, as Yahweh commanded Moses.
So Moses got the commandments of Yahweh. Moses got the commandments of Yahweh. And what did he say in 3 verse 10 again, Elder? 3 verse 10. Matter of fact, read 11 and kick up to verse 10. Read verse 3:11 and kick up to verse 10 now.
The book of Numbers chapter 3, verse 11. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 10, thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. Stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
Mm-hmm. So who's supposed to do the priest office and do the ministry to Yahweh and to the children of Israel have to be Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons was the one to do the priesthood. Now I got to get a priest up on that, Elder. So that's how it's supposed to have been when in the days of Moses. But then Yahweh gave Moses a future shot on how things going to happen up the road. He gave Moses a something to put in writing in 33rd chapter, verse 1 and 7. So Moses understood all this right here, that the one that's supposed to do the ministering is supposed to be Aaron and his son. Aaron and his sons, that's who take care of the priest office of Yahweh, Aaron and the sons. Now, but he was given a vision to put something in writing in Deuteronomy 33. Hell, what he got written in 33, verse 1 and 7?
Book of Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. Verse number 7 reads, Deuteronomy 33. Verse number 1 reads, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahweh, blessed the family of Israel before his death. verse number 7. And this is the blessing of Yahdah Judah. And he said, hear Yahweh, the voice of Yahdah Judah, and bring him unto his people, that his hand be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies.
Mm-hmm. So Moses knew that it's going to be a change, not in his day, but somewhere it's going to be a change, that Judah was going to take over the priesthood. So Paul pulled that verse, Elder, in the 7th chapter of the book of the Israelites, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. So Paul looked back there and peeked at that thing, that this ministry now is in the hands of Judah. The Levite was put on the shelf. According to Malachi, we're not going to get off in that right now. But he addressed the national audience that was at the Southern Kingdom in the 7th chapter. And he made a profound statement, 12 down to verse 14, about the change of the order of the priesthood. 12 through 14, what did it say? Hebrews 7, 12 down to verse 14. What's the Bible say? Come on.
The book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 12 through 14 reads. Look at Hebrews 7, verse number 12 reads. For the priesthood being changed, there's made of necessity a change also of the law. Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, which no man gave attendance at the altar. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Yahweh sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses said nothing concerning priesthood.
Mm-hmm. So there go the priesthood being changed from the Levite to Judah. But it was already prophesied in 60 verse 7 by the angel. David already had it. In writing that it was going to happen, but what happened was when we forget about if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But it was already prophesied, Elder, and 60 verse 7, that this was going to happen in time to come. Let's see what we can read by the mouth of the angel talking to David about who in time to come will be taking over the priesthood until the return of Yahweh the Son. What can we read in 60 verse 7 of the book of Psalms?
Book of Psalms chapter 60, verse number 7 reads, Psalm 60, verse 7 reads, Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head. Yahdah Judah is my lawgiver.
Mm-hmm. So Yahdah Judah is the one that taught Bible now. It was prophesied, he's listening. In time to come, David, who will do all the Bible talking, once they understand this thing, will be Yahdah Judah. That's the one taught the Bible today. Prophesied by the angels. Get a stack of winners on that, yo. We're going to 108. We're going to 108 of Psalms. And the angel came right back to tell him again. Says the 108. He made a statement in 108, yo. So one thing the angel came back, he doubled back to him and said, Are you clear what I just said? He said, I'll tell it to you again. So now, in the book of Psalms 108, see, the angel had to come back because, you know, a minister of Yahweh can't be complex about anything. So the angel came back to make sure you clear what I just got through telling you in 108 verse 8. Hey, yo, what do you say in 108 verse 8 of Psalms?
The book of Psalms 108. Verse 8 reads, Psalms 108, verse 8. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head. Judah is my lawgiver.
So Judah is the one that talks the Bible today. So if you're in a ministry, if Judah is not presiding over the ministry, then you're not probably, give me a word. If Judah not sitting at the head of the conversation with the Bible, give me a word, J.L.
You're not following the instructions of the Torah, of the law of Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Father. So that means you're not following the instructions of Yahweh. If you're in a ministry, and that male that stands before you from the tribe of bloodline Judah, if he's not there sitting up front, issuing out the word of Yahweh, then you out of the will of Yahweh. He made it plain for the preacher of the day. In 14 verse 40, Paul said something in 14 verse 40 of the book of Corinthians. And what did Paul say behind that? When you're doing the ministry of Yahweh, Judah's supposed to be one doing all the talking right now. The tribe you call, all the derogatory statements. But that's the tribe for be the head of every Bible institution if you want to get to the proper position of the kingdom on earth. Judah got the lead. Now, Paul found some scattered Israelites and told them, eyeball it, in Corinthians 14, verse number 70, 40. What he said, 14 verse 40 to them, look them eyeball there, you know? What he said, come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 reads, "And all things be done decently and in order."
Make sure everything is done decent in order. Why? Verse 33.
Verse number 33, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. "But Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints."
You see that? So everything has to be Bible written and understood. Everything has to be done decent in order, according to Paul, raised from the womb in Galatians 1:16. Your thing got to be done decently in order. But he makes another statement here, Elder. He seals the deal. And verse 38.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 38 reads, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant."
You don't be ignorant, you'll be ignorant by yourself. You'll be ignorant by yourself. But see, it's a minister called Yahweh 472 is why I doubt it too. It's the Bible saying. You got to lay it out what the Bible saying, and you got to follow the rules of the Bible, not the rules of your feelings. Everything has to be done decent in order. But if you want to be ignorant about it, you'll be ignorant by yourself. Now, Mother E, let me see how great Mother E is. And that mother hollering at the microphone a little bit, saying, "Hey, Mother E, one of the mothers out of Cal 1. Y'all probably beat that scene right."
Yeah, well, we have to get in there. I'll see you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, Mother, the sun is just about getting ready to go down. And, you know, it talks about, but we're not going to read it in Ken 1. A wise seer would instruct his people. Talks about it again in the same book of 37, 23, verse 26. Wise seer would instruct his people. So we just got to enjoy a fantastic, great feast of unleavened bread But then what happened next? Now, I started just about ready to go out, Mama. Let's find out what happened next after that, after you complete that great feast of unleavened bread. What do you do to be understood in the Vicar 23? And we take it, we look at verse 15 and 16. What do you do, Mother, according to the Vicar 23, verse 15 and 16?
Book of Leviticus 23, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from tomorrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the chaff of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. 16. Even unto tomorrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh.
And what does it say in verse 21, Mother?
Verse 21. And ye shall proclaim on the self-same day that it may be an righteous gathering unto you. Ye shall do no further work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation.
Verse 1,
Moses saying, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses saying, verse 9, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses saying, verse 23, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses saying,
verse 26.
Verse 26. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying,
verse 33.
33. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying,
So, Mother, we clear who gave out the orders of the Vicar 23. Hey, Mother, for the national orders over 9,000 strong here in the afterside. Who's doing all this tall talking to Moses?
Yahweh the Son.
Hallelujah. Yahweh the Son. Hallelujah. Now, see, we know Yahweh doing all this talking, getting Moses right to tell Aaron something. Let's go back to Numbers, Elder. Numbers chapter 4. 1 down to verse 5 and 34. Let's find out the Moses. We clear that Yahweh got his hand all around Moses and got Moses very listening real good. Let's see what's going on in Numbers chapter 4, 1 down to verse 4 and 34. Elder Yahweh Israel the new.
Book of Numbers chapter 4, verse number 1 through 4. And verse 34
1 through 5 and 34. Come on.
The book of Numbers chapter 4, verse number 1 through 5, and verse 34 reads, Numbers chapter 4, verse 1, Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 2, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families, by the house of their fathers. Verse number 3. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that entered into the host, to to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse number 4, it shall be the servant of the son of the Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most righteous things. Verse 5, and when the camp sitteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons. They shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the covenant with it. Verse number 34 reads, Numbers 4, verse 34, and Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families, after the house of their fathers.
Mm-hmm. So we find out right now that Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation, Kohath, his sons had a position in the ministry too. His sons had a position in the ministry. Back up and read me verse 27-28. The Bible make it sound good. What it says in verse number 21, 27-28.
The book of Numbers 4, verse number 21, 27 and 28 reads, Numbers chapter 4, verse 21, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 27, at the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the servants of the sons of the Goshenites, and all their burdens, and in all their service, you shall appoint unto them in the charge all their burdens. Verse 28, this is the service of the family of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation. The charge shall be under the hand of Itamar, the son of Aaron, the priest.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh is telling you exactly, he wants Aaron and his sons to take care of the ministry business. Aaron and his sons. I want Aaron and his sons to be the ones to take care of the ministry business of Yahweh. What is it saying, verse 33?
This is the service of the family of the son of Merari, according to all their service, the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Itamar, the son of Aaron, the priest.
So all of the ones that are going to be doing the service, they have to be upon Aaron. Aaron was the man of the hour that was appointed by Yahweh, and Moses had to oversee Aaron to make sure Aaron gets this thing done. It's all about the priesthood business was done by Aaron's son. And we know they had plenty of daughters, but they was not to do the priesthood. Aaron and his sons, and this is what Yahweh said in 21. So Yahweh is the one that laid it out. Aaron and his sons do the priesthood. Now, as that was going down real good there, Elder, what happened then? Moses had to make a statement behind that. And let's see what Moses said in Numbers 27, verse 15 down to verse 17. Now, Moses was following all the instructions of the Almighty Yahweh. Instruction was no problem. So in Numbers 27, verse 15 down to verse 17, let's talk about that a little bit. Oh, come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 15 through 17 reads, book of Numbers 27, verse 15, and Moses spake unto Yahweh, saying, verse 16, the Yahweh of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. Let the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
Mm-hmm. So if a man is not on the congregation of Yahweh, it's just like a sheep having no shepherd. If a man is not over the congregation of Yahweh, the example of it is just like a sheep having no shepherd. Even a sheep don't want to hear that. That's how it is if a man is not over the congregation. Now, one of the seers pulled that verse to Elder. He pulled that to tell the people of the book that the verse he just heard out of Numbers in Ezekiel 37:34, Elder, that verse was pulled by one of the seers. Let's see what he said that we can read in Ezekiel 34:1-31. Let's see. When the seer pulled that number 27:15-17, let's see, did he alter it by any way, or did he just call it the way it is in 34:1, 30, and 31? What did he say to him?
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 31 reads, Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 1, read. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 30, thus shall they know that I, Yahweh, their Yahweh, am with them, and that they, even the family of Israel, my people, save Yahweh. Verse 31, and you, my flock, the flock of my pastors, are men. And I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. See it. Yahweh.
So Yahweh told Ezekiel the seer, listen, my flock or my pastor is men. Men's run my sanctuary. Men's run my temple. Men's run it. Now, that what he said to Ezekiel, to tell Ezekiel, listen, you go back to read the 27th chapter when Moses talked to me and I told him exactly, and men run the congregation. Men. So read that 34 one more time, Elder, and let's make sure that it's not a male chauvinist thing. It is the hand of Yahweh saying what? And 34 verse 1, 30 and 31. Let's listen to, and Yahweh said, to the seer. 34 verse 1, 30 and 31, we say,
the book of Ezekiel 34, verse 1, verse 30 and 31 reads, Ezekiel 34, verse 1, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 30 reads, thus shall they know that I, Yahweh, their Yahweh, am with them, that they, even the family of Israel, are my people. Save Yahweh. Verse 31. And you, my flock, the flock of my pastors, are men. I am your Yahweh. Save Yahweh.
And that's when you know that flock is led by the blessing of Yahweh, when men have the first word and the last word of the congregation of Yahweh. Men have the first word and the last word by order of Yahweh. David there. So those of the 69 camp understand plainly that we got to make sure we follow the Bible. Men have the first word and the last word when it comes down to the congregation of Yahweh. And Yahweh says it plainly in 34 verse 1. And Yahweh takes all these words saying to the seer. You remind them that men run the congregation. They got the first word and the last word to receive the blessing of Yahweh. Where you get that from? Ezekiel 34 verse 1, 30, and 31. So Paul pulled that, Elder. So Paul pulled that because he had to go and take care of some business with the northern kingdom in the 14th chapter, verse 29. So Paul pulled that verse. Let's see what's going on when Paul pulled that verse on the right side of the Bible. Pulled that verse. And he said something that we ought to be plainly what Paul said to the northern kingdom that was scattered, along with Judah, Zorah, all of them were scattered. So he visited a worship place. And then he made a profound statement to them by understanding what was written in Numbers, Ezekiel, and all the Numbers books, Deuteronomy. He understood this thing. So Paul came back in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians 29 down to verse 40. Let's see if we analyze from this good reading, this good understanding, what Paul is bringing to the table in 1 Corinthians 14, 29 down to verse 40. What he's bringing to the table, here will come out.
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 29 through 40 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 reads, let the seers speak two or three, and let the other judge. Verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Verse 32, and the spirits of the seers are subject to the seers. Verse 33, for Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the saints, the families of Israel. Verse 34, let your women keep silent in the congregation, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse 35, if they will learn anything, let them their husband at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the congregation. Verse 36, what came the word of Yahweh out from you, or came it unto you only? Verse 37, if any man think himself to be a seer or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahweh. Verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 39, but for brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Verse 40, let all things be done decently, and in order.
So let me think about analyze verse 29 again. You know, what do 29 say again? This is Paul in Galatians 1:16. Hey, Molly, in Galatians 1:16, I need Paul's resume, Molly. I need to know Paul making statements like that. I need to know his resume. I mean, that's some tall talking Paul doing. I got to find out where you learn that kind of talk from, Paul. I mean, that's some proper talking you just said. So I need to find out Paul's resume. You know, sometimes they ask you, hey, you got your, did you go to one of them Christian churches and get your paperwork? I got to find where Paul got his paperwork from. That's some pretty tall talking we just got through here, Mother. Let's see if we find out. Let's read verse 15. Make it sound good, Mother. I need to hear something about. Well, Paul got some tall talking, Mother. Let's find out where he get all that tall talking from. 1:15 down to verse number 18. Take your time, Mother, and just squeeze that microphone a little more audio. Come out.
The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Verse 15. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his covenant grace. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might teach him among the nation, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Okay, let me do that again. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might see him among the heathens.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Yahweh Judah to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to the
same thing you said the first time. Jerusalem means Judah. Same thing you said the first time. Let's repeat the same thing again in verse 18.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, Jabal Judah, to see Peter and the boy with him 15 days.
Okay, good. So there it is right there. So now we know Paul was Yahweh formed him from the womb to make the statements he made in the 14th chapter. And to make sure that he was confirmed after Yahweh raised from the womb, he was found the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, Peter, and abode with him 15 days to go over what Yahweh had showed him. So there is a gem of them. So when Paul was making these statements about what to be done, he went to the school of Yahweh. Now, in fact, he was raised from the womb to deliver his knockout blow. Then to confirm what he had learned, he went directly to Peter and abode with him 15 days. So what he getting ready to say, you know, this man right here was raised from the womb to say what? In 14:29, 1 Corinthians, he was raised from the womb and confirmed by Peter to say what in verse 14:29?
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse number 29 reads, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, let the seers speak two or three, and let the others judge.
Yeah. He said, let the seers speak two or three, and let the others judge. What others? Israel. Now, he's going to make it even more plainer, and he's going to make it even more plain in 32. Listen, see now, remember, and we're going to get a precept in the book of Peter, King Elder. Remember what else he said in verse 32?
The book of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. And the spirit of the seers are subject to the seers.
That means the word of the seers are subject to the seer. So all of them going to say the same thing. These all the seers going to say the same thing that all the rest of them say. If they say in the word, they'll be saying the same thing. They're not going to deviate from what the Bible says. I don't care how hot and heavy get to the left and get to the right. They're going to say the same thing that was Moses said, and everybody else, they'll say the same thing. Now, what was said in verse 34, yo?
1 Corinthians 14, 34. Let your women keep silent in the congregation, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
Now, it also saith the law. So the law has to have something to say about that. Matter of fact, Mother, have me at 3:16, Mother. Let's read about, matter of fact, 3:18 down to verse 16 in a minute, Mother. We're going to read that. Give me Genesis, have me Genesis chapter 3:14-16 in a minute. But I want to look at this again. Oh, Paul pointed back towards the law. That means he said, what I'm saying, you also can read it back in the law, statutes and commandments. And what does he say there in verse 35 there?
Verse number 35. And if they will learn anything, if you make their husband at home, it is the same for women to speak in the congregation.
Yeah. So now he said the law deals with that. He said the law deals with that. So saying that a woman don't go back and forth with leadership. They don't go back and forth. If they got to say something, fine. The leadership, if they don't have a husband, then the leadership of that ministry will be the one that will say yeah. Now, Paul was a very learned man that held him. And Peter had to write about him because when Paul was visiting him them days, so Peter had chance to check him out when he told exactly how he was operating. So, and that's in Peter 3:15 there, Elder. So he had to address about what he had learned, not what he had learned, because, you know, he was more advanced than Paul was, Peter. But he had to tell those, this man Paul, he's all right, and we're going to talk about him. And first, 2 Peter chapter 3, Elder, we're going to talk about Peter talking about Paul. Let's see what he said we can read in 3:15 down to verse 18. 2 Peter 3:15 down to verse 18. What he said, A.I.O.
The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15 through 18 reads. Book of 2 Peter 3, verse number 15 reads. And account that the long serpent of our Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable risk, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, yet therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the errors of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Yahweh and Savior, Yahweh the Son, to him be glory, honor, both now and forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So Peter had to address, because a lot of them brought back, I don't understand Paul. I don't understand it. He said, well, you know, you're not going to understand, but Paul is a very learned man. He said, because he sat with me after he has got this revelation from Yahweh and ran it down to me. He's saying, you're not going to understand Paul's writing or how he delivers. But he's all right. No doubt about it. That was Peter saying he's all right, because he's doing exactly what was said of him. I got to put it right out there in the 14th chapter, 24. All right. You know, that's when the spirit kick in the mouth there. Now you're talking good talk now. The model for the precept with that. In the 24th chapter, you know, verse 14, it makes it plain what Paul was on out of his own mouth in Acts 24:14. What was the only, I didn't know out there,
the book of Acts 24:14 reads, "For this I confess unto you, that after the way they call heresy, to worship at Yahweh of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the seers."
Take that though. Yeah, you see how Paul, he said, I got to confess. He said, you know, I was taught by the Almighty, but in the same token, he can open my eyes on what's said, and I watch everybody from the pages of the book. He said, look here. I was told to tell her, you know, that the woman folks are keep the mouth closed in the congregation when men's is there. When men's is there, leadership in place, keep the mouth closed. That's what he said, and they kind of touch it kind of roughly. But he said, I'm only talking about what it's talked about in the book. Let's get a precept on that, Elder. Let's precept that to the 26th chapter. Because when you precept things and get the precept to it, look at verse 22 say. We go on to the 26th chapter and look at verse 22.
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse number
2.
Make it 22. Well, make it 22. Thank you, Mother. Make it 22.
The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22 reads, "Having therefore obtained help of Yahweh, I continue unto this day, witnesses both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the seer and Moses did say should come."
Hey, that you get that man can see it. That man said, listen, you might not understand the way I'm delivering, but I ain't saying nothing no different from what the seer and Moses said. He's some saying the same thing they said. He said, what they said, I'm saying. And that's the same thing. A seer is subject to the seer. That means what they say on the left side of the book, they don't change on the right side of the book. So if you want to know what Yahweh is doing today, you can look back at yesterday. That's all you got to do. And the same thing went on yesterday is going on today. But you got to make sure, especially if you're in leadership, that you make your calling, your election sure according to what the Bible says. Paul said, I ain't saying nothing. No difference than the seer said and Moses said. I got to go to 28 chapter. I need some more of that, Elder. I got to give me a little bit more of that. And in 28 chapter, because of the Paul, by being a learned man, you know, a lot of children of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, they didn't understand because Peter had to get around them and have a council meeting. So in the 28th chapter, verse 17, Elder, this is how Yahweh operates. We just played about the spirit of Yahweh. See, Paul was a very learned man. Peter had to try to address those that didn't understand that Paul came and ran it down to him for 15 days. And he understood all that good stuff. But the ones that was not with Peter, they didn't understand anything. So now we're going to read a little bit more about what Paul was doing in the 28th chapter of Acts, verse 17. And we'll read down to get that, take it out of verse 23. So we're going to make it plain what Paul was saying. But now we're going to skip down to another piece of problem. And verse 28 to 31. You might want to take care of a little bit of this on the way there, Elder. This really got a lot of good juice in here. We'll look at 17 down to verse 23. And then we'll skip down to 28 to 31. And we can really understand that Paul ran into a lot of opposition. But Peter understood him and Graham Stiles. And Peter tried to get to those that was in leadership in different areas is paying up them for Paul was really doing some damage in their ear. Let's read a little bit about that elder in 20 chapters, verse 17 out of verse 23. Matter of fact, I need 24 too. Matter of fact, I need 23 on verse 25. Now, I might as well just take it as business grand style there. You know? So in Acts 28:17 down to verse 25, then 28:31. Come on, deliver the knockout, bro. I'm all ears in the world listening to. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 17 to 25. Verse 28 to 31 reads, book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of Yahdai Judah together. When they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of cup or custom of our fathers, it was I delivered prisoner from Yahdai Judah into the hands of the Romans. Verse number 18. When they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Verse 19. When Yahdai Judah spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Now that I had ought to accuse my nation of. Verse number 20, what is called therefore, I have called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Verse 21, they said unto him, we neither receive letters of Yahdai Judah concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. Verse 22, but we desire to hear of thee, what thou thinkest. For as concerning this set, we know that everywhere it is spoken again. Verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuaded them concerning Yahweh the Son, both out of the law of Moses and out of the seers, from morning till evening. Verse number 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Verse 25. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the righteous spirit by Isaiah the seer unto our fathers. Verse number 28 reads, the book of Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of Yahweh is sent unto the Gentiles, scattered Israelites, that they will hear it. Verse 29. And when he had said these words, Yahdai Judah departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. Verse 31. Teaching the kingdom of Yahweh, and teaching those things which concern Yahweh the Son, with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
That's nice.
Hey, what is it in verse 24 and 29 again? Verse 24 and 29. The book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 24 reads, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Verse 29. And when he had said these words, Yahdai Judah departed and had great reasoning among themselves.
That's nice of that. That's the top here, see. So Paul, he caught it from his own family member out of the same bloodline of Israel. But that don't mean that, but he still was spoke confidence and boldness and delivered a knockout blow. See, sometimes you got to understand something. It's not going to be the majority side to make a Bible decision. No. It always be a tied to reason to come out faith for the world. But if you are gonna be of Yahweh, you have to make the tough decision. And how you make that? Just reading the Bible. That's all you gotta do. Read the Bible and let them roll. See, Paul let them know, listen, what I'm on is what everybody else says. I ain't on nothing no more because they have something going on. They have something going on, Elder. In 18 chapters, they had something going on. And see, that's why Paul was working them over because they had something going on, Elder. And in 18 chapters of the same book, they were talking some good talk there, Elder. I mean, in their mind, they were talking some good talk. And Paul, you know, got over there in the 18th chapter, and you know, he ran into opposition. He ran into a whole lot of opposition over there in 18th chapter. So now, I don't know why I'm sent to 18th chapter, but. He ran into a lot of opposition, and those that carry Yahweh's word, you're gonna run into a lot of opposition. So if you like get up to understand, you gonna run into opposition. Maybe the 19th chapter, let's see what Paul ran into. Paul ran into some things in the 19th chapter. Let's see verse 21 and do a little read. Let's see what kind of opposition Paul ran into. See, Paul, the Benjamite, he ran into a whole lot of opposition. And if you're going to carry Yahweh's word, don't you think you can use it a pass? Nope. Let's see what's going on. We can read in Acts 19, verse 21, and we're going to read till we get our point out. But I want to get down to the part where they was hollering Paul's ear for 2 hours. I mean, imagine a whole crowd of people hollering in your ear. What they hollering Paul's ear about? Let's find out what they hollering Paul's ear about, In the 19th chapter, verse 21, down to verse number 35. Come on.
Acts chapter 19. Verse number 21 to verse number 25 reads. Acts
35.
Chapter 19.
You take it to 35 there, yo.
The book of Acts chapter 19. Verse 21 through 25 reads. Acts chapter 19.
35. Take it out 3-5. Take it out 3-5. I don't know how long these people was, this whole big crowd. See, Paul ran into some things, but I'm really interested in 34 and 35. But we might as well build a foundation for the national audience on what Paul ran into when he went and learned what he had to learn and told Peter about it. Then he had to go get on his journey. And all he had with him was Timothy and Titus. He has to make his move. Let's see what he ran to, Elder. And Acts 19, verse 21, down to verse 35. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 21 through 35 reads. Book of Acts 19, verse 21 reads. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Yagdar Judah, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Verse 22. So he went into Macedonia. Two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Eratus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Verse 23. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. Verse 24. A certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Verse 25, when we call together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Verse 26, moreover you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no yakwas, which are made with hands. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, who also Asia and the world worship. Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Eratarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Verse number 30, when Paul had entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. Verse 31, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto them, saying, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Verse 33, they drew Alexander out of the multitude, Yahdai Judah putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. Verse 34, when they knew that he was a Yahdai Judah, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. 35, when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that know not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great Yahwadis Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?
So you see, Paul, you know, he had a heavy task on him. That's why, you know, we read in other lessons that, you know, Paul was sent to the uncircumcised Israelites. And they were something else. They were something else. Paul called it because they was what else in verse 32? What was the people elder in 32? These Israelites from Judah and all and northern kingdom. What was they in 32?
The book of Acts 19, verse 32 reads, some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together.
And that was all on the day. See, Yahweh's voice over to his ladies on the scene now. And a lot of men are just confused. They don't understand this thing. It ain't nothing going to stop this ministry. And we're going to hold the hammer down according to this says Yahweh. What is that, verse 29 and skip up to verse 28, J.O.?
Acts 19, verse 29. The whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Eratarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater. Verse 28, when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians.
You see that? So you see that? And now they're doing it. See, Paul had to tell them and Corinthians listen, you know, see, that's right, women worshiping came from him. So Paul had to try to slam that down. He caught it. So you imagine what Paul called it and what you going to go through when you tell a woman that they don't supposed to mind them out, not in the congregation. So you know what you're going to go through. So there go Paul going through it right now. And they tried to, and other parts of the left, they beat Paul's back too. They beat his back. So you imagine what is on the table today. So there it is there. Now, mother eat. So you hear, you see what Paul had to go through. They was talking about greatest season. I need a precept on that mother eat. But I'm struggling on that. I need a precept on that. But I'm struggling right now. You know, help those see out here, you know, where he talked about when a woman stood up and said to Yahweh the son, he was teaching, and she got moved and said something to Yahweh the son. She said, great as the woman that you was all on her breast. And he gave her answer. He gave her answer behind that. Did that enough to work with Elder?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
so I can write it down right quick.
So he was teaching, you know, a woman with a great big old mouth, She opened her fat mouth and hollered on that Yahweh's son in the temple. And then Yahweh hollered something back at her. And what did he say? Hey, Mother E. Thank you, there, Mother E. Give me Luke chapter 11. I got it here. Okay. Luke chapter 11, 27, 28. Hey, Mother E. And then Luke chapter 11, 27, 28. Let's talk about it, Mother, before we get off the dead Genesis. Because he didn't know a woman. He was at the temple site, and Yahweh was delivering a knockout blow. And let me see what happens, and then we can read the verse 27 and 28, Mother E. What's saying Luke chapter 11, 27 and 28? What's saying that, Mother? Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Verse 27, and it comes to pass, as he speaks these things, a certain woman of the companion lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the path which thou hast struck. Verse 28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of Yahweh and keep it.
You hear that, Mother? You hear the woman say, great, look at that good speaking man up there. Great is the woman that bad him and the titty he stuck on. He hollered back at her. He said, let me tell you something, woman. Great if you hear the word of Yahweh and keep it. That means you're great. That's what he said. When you hear the word of Yahweh and keep it, that will make you great. So she hollered out and he hollered right back at her. You hear the word and keep it. So we get back to the word, Mother. We're going to hear the word and see if we're going to make a decision according to the word. Now let's go back to Genesis 3:14 through 16, Mother. Now we're going to hear the word. And let's see when we keep the word after we hear the word and Genesis 3:14 through 16.
The book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And Yahweh said unto the servant, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed, it will all cattle, and it will be, and it will every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I will put enemies between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise your heel.
Verse 16.
16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow. Thus shall bring both children, and they desire shall be to their husband. And he shall rule over thee.
He said, and thy desire. He said, not your desire, thy desire to be to your husband, and he going to rule over you. Because right. you didn't pay Adam no never mind, and you ain't paid me no never mind that got Adam's place. So I tell you what I'm going to do for you, one. He said, you have pain from bringing in children. But your desire, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. See, that's what you got coming behind you, not paying that man no never mind. Well, that man told you exactly what I told him to tell you. And since you didn't do it, guess what? Your position is for him to rule over you until I get back. There's right there. He says, verse 16, unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. That means when you have a child, you're gonna wish you not having a child. It's going to be pain on you. And that pain is reminding you of your disobedience. Every time you have a child, you have too much pain behind it because of your disobedience. That's what he just said. He said, in sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. In sorrow, you don't be nothing glad I have no baby. You have sorrow behind it. And thou desire to be to that husband, and he shall rule over you. This is what Yahweh said. This is what Yahweh said, right? And verse 14 says, and Yahweh said unto the serpent, took at him, and he also took care of the woman. With a broad brush, he took care of the serpent, and he took care of the woman right there. So that's how it's going to be. So that's how it's going to be until I get back. Because man live by what I say. If I got it in a book, this is the way I want to happen, and you don't do it the way I tell you doing that book, then that's what comes after that right there. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Me having babies, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Oh, Yahweh said. So if you think you can break Yahweh, I think give me a precept on that, mother. Give me a precept on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, mother. I need a precept on that. Yeah, I need a precept on that. That's big talk. I need a precept on that, mother. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm looking for a precept, mother. at verse 10, 2, and 2. I need a precept on that. Let's see, can I get a precept out of that in 10, 2, and 2? 1 Corinthians 10, 2, and 2.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22. Do we provoke the Yahweh to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
Yeah, we're stronger than he. If he called, that's the end of it. If he said his guy gonna be, unless we stronger than he is. But I doubt that very seriously with another precept, mother, in the 11th chapter of Numbers. Let's get another precept on that in verse 24, mother. See, the Bible will precept the Bible. Now, if we stronger than Yahweh, he says the man supposed to rule over the woman. That's what he said. If that ain't what's going on in relationship, then that means that Tell broke that covenant he put on the table in 3:16. That means they stronger than Yahweh. Yahweh says, woman, your husband is to rule over you. And that's the end of it, unless you're stronger than Yahweh. Now we're going to get a precept on that, mother. We're going to the 11th chapter. That's how it's supposed to be until you come back. So if that ain't in order, you're not in order. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, who said that? Yahweh said it. But if we're stronger than Yahweh, then I guess you can break that covenant. If you're stronger than Yahweh, now let me ask you that. Is he stronger than me? I'm going to get a precept on that mother in the 11th chapter. We're going to look at verse 24. Matter of fact, read verse 23 just to make it sound good. Just want verse 23. We're going to Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, mother. We're getting a precept. It's called a precept, mother. In the 11th chapter of Numbers, verse 23, what does it say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, and the Yahweh said unto Moses, if the Yahweh's hand wax short, that thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Verse 24.
Yeah.
And Moses.
That's it, brother. That's it. Yeah, that's it, brother. That's it. I thought you might read 23 again, brother. That was big talk by Yahweh. Read that again, mother, what he said in verse 23. That's all I want 23 again.
Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, if the Yahweh's hands wax short, that thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not.
So, mother, if Yahweh said something back in the beginning, you think anybody strong enough today to break what he got on the table, mother?
No.
How about a hallelujah, Yahweh, on that?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. So, whatever Yahweh got on the table, whether we skirt around or not, that's the end of it. Unless we stronger than Yahweh. See, that's what we got to really understand something. If we stronger than Yahweh, then you can break Yahweh's word. But if you're not, and I think once it's told of what he's saying and what he won't done, I believe the best thing to do is to just do it. So what he got ready, that was Paul telling us. He said, when I went over there, what a northern kingdom that over there and what's it called, a gate, Europe. They were worshiping a woman over there. And I told them, y'all wrong. And they said, Paul, this is how we make our money, Paul, with this woman up here. He said, well, that's wrong, according to scripture. You don't worship no woman. You're supposed to rule over that woman. No, Paul, we make our money like that. We're going to have to beat your back, Paul. Yeah. So you see what happened? See, Paul went and told him the same thing. No, you can't do that. The man got the first and the last word. No. See, Paul had to get his back beat. But he still stuck through it all the way. So I'm telling you, sometimes people just got to get their back beat. But unless they start with a Yahweh, but he said, you're going to see where my word stands or not. Now, Elder. So now we go, now we're going to Judges chapter 4, Elder. And we're going to see, can we break down what's really said in Judges chapter 4, Elder. We're going to Judges chapter 4, because we know what Joshua said. He said, matter of fact, before we get there, hey, Mother, can you bring something back to the table? And Ezekiel 34, verse 1, 30, and 31. Bring that back to the national order, because I see they're packing in even more on the international side. And they unlock the microphone. Ain't nobody coming in on the left side. They got to get on the right side. So they ain't coming in. So now we stuck where we got to work with. Now, Mother, 34th chapter, verse 1 of Ezekiel, verse 30 and 31. And then I'm going to be in Judges chapter 4, 1 through 9, waiting on you after Mother take care of his business in Ezekiel 34, verse 1, 30 and 31. What does it say about Ezekiel 34, verse 1, 30 and 31? What does it say?
Ezekiel, yeah, 34, verse 30 and 31. But
read verse 1, brother.
Verse 1.
Read verse 1 just to make it sound good. Read verse 1 just to make it sound good. 34, 1.
Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, verse 20, and 31, verse 30 and 31.
Mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter
34, verse 1. And the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 30. Thus shalt thou know that I, the Yahweh, their Yahweh, am with them, and that they, even the family of Israel, are my people, said the Yahweh. Verse 31. And you, my flock, the flock of my pastor, are men, and I am your Yahweh. Said the Yahweh.
So Yahweh passes, Mother. And for Yahweh to know his pastor, they are what, Mother? What are Yahweh's pastors?
Men.
That's when you know Yahweh running the ministry, because his pastors is men. So if a woman is running the ministry, that can't be Yahweh's pastor. A woman don't run no ministry with men in there. They were just saying. So you're going to a place where a woman is the pastor, then you know Yahweh's not there. He told you where he is. Read verse 31 again, Mother.
Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. And you, my flock, the flock of my pastor, are me, and I am your Yahweh, said the Yahweh.
And that plane, Mother? Hey, Mother, is that plane?
Hallelujah.
That's plane. That's how it's supposed to be. That's it. That's Yahweh. Unless we are a 10:22, we ain't going to go read it again. Unless we are 10:22, you strong in Yahweh, you can break what he got on the table. And I love to see you do so, because I close the book of the walk. Yahweh said the pastors of Yahweh is men, not men and women. Men, that's it, according to Yahweh. So Ezekiel has to bring that back to the table because he must spot a woman like Paul spot a woman in that leadership position. So he had to remind, so the seer, I mean, Yahweh reminded Ezekiel that make sure they understand that my pastors are men. That's who run my congregation. Unless we strongly yield. Keep that in your mind. Now, we're going to, Elder, we're going to take a look at something here, and we're going to see exactly can we tie this in to make some sense to the Bible. What we already know so far, we know a lot. So we know something got to be more to this right here, or maybe we're probably reading this wrong. So when we go to Judges chapter 5, verse 4, 1 down to verse 9, maybe with all this information, we must be probably reading this wrong. Because we have a tendency to see the best of them go right over here and Judges 4, 1 through 9 and think they got a point here. But let's analyze this point and see what's going on. We're going to Judges chapter 4, 1 down to verse 9. You know, take your time, Elder, and deliver the knockout vote. It says we analyze Judges 4, 1 down to verse 9. Come on.
The book of Judges, chapter 4, verse number 1 through 9 reads. Book of Judges 4, verse number 1 reads. The family of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahweh. When Ehud was dead, verse number 2, and Yahweh sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar. The captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. Verse number 3, and the family of Israel cried unto Yahweh, we had 900 chariots of iron. 20 years, he mightily oppressed the family of Israel. Verse number 4, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippadot, she judged Israel at that time. Verse number 5, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim, and the family of Israel came up to her for judgment. Verse number 6, she sent and called Barak, the son of Ephraim, out of Kadesh, Naphtali, and said unto him, and the Yahweh of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the family of Naphtali, and of the family of Zebulun. Verse number 7, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Verse number 8, and Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, but if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Verse number 9, and she said, I will surely go with thee, and I will stand in the journey, if thou take it shall not be for thine honor. For Yahweh shall sell Caesarea into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to get this.
Y'all hear that? Now, but see, this is when you have to be able to read something and do some breakdown. What was all this, we read already that who's supposed to do the ministry to him, priest office and the congregation with men and all that. So we read all that. So what was all this going on at Elder when we read verse 5? What was Deborah doing all this? Where was she at? Was she in the temple? What was she at according to verse 5?
The book of Judges 4, verse number 5 reads, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramoth and Bethel and Mount Ephraim.
Go ahead.
And the family of Israel came up. And the family of Israel came up to her for judgment.
So the family of Israel came where? Did they come to the temple? No. They're not going to the temple to get no judges. They were going where again? Look, I think we make it plain. The family of Israel went well for her to get us some instruction. Verse 5. Read verse 5 again.
Judges 4, verse 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramoth and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the family of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Oh. So she was around the mountains of the government of Ephraim. So she had a dwelling place where they came there to get some judgment from her. Oh, okay. So she didn't meet them at the temple because she knows what the rules is. So she was at a location around Mount Ephraim. Let's get a little bit more on that. Let's go to the fifth chapter here. Get a little bit more on that then. Let's see how her mindset is in the fifth chapter. So when she done that judging she was doing, she didn't put on her robe and go to the temple. No. Like you got now, you got dignitary every day. It's all type of high position. You go stand before them and traffic courts and everything else. They got a position to judge. And they sit there and tell you about, and you got some that sit behind the desk. You know what the badge on. They got out there. But when they take it, when they get off of work and they come home where you at, then that goes back to you. But doing a job of making government decisions and everything else, majority of women have it today. So you are always going to stand before a woman one way or other, but not in the temple. That's the problem we're saying. But not in the temple. But you are always going to stand before a woman somewhere. There's probably a woman judging your case based upon traffic. Maybe a woman judging your case behind child support. You are always going to stand behind a judge or a woman because that had been put in her hand. No? Sometimes it's just about your money. You're one into a woman that stand behind and tell you about your money. You don't have a woman over your money or can tell you about which way your money going to go. And that's true. So you got to understand that. But when it comes down to temple business, man have the first word and the last word. So Deborah had word from Yahweh that is true. But they have to come some away from the temple and find her over there in Mount Ephraim, where they came up to her for the judgment. So they went out to find her from the temple to find her, and she landed down to him. Now I get a case in form of the precept, Elder. Before we go to the fifth chapter, get a precept on something. But Yahweh can work with whoever he want to work with. Numbers 22. But he don't change the way he do temple business. Temple business is what he just said, the way he do it. I'm going to Numbers 22, Elder. And look at verse 22. Let's find out what we can get out of this. Numbers 22, verse 22. Let's read a little bit till we get our point.
Book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse number 22 reads, Book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse number 22 reads, Numbers, chapter 22, verse 22 reads, And Yahweh's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of Yahweh stood in the way when adversaries against him. And he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Verse 23. The ass saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass, turned her into the way. Verse 24. But the angel of Yahweh stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. Verse number 25. And when the ass saw the angel of Yahweh, she thrust herself unto the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Verse 26. The angel Yahweh went further, and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. Verse 27, and when the ass saw the angel of Yahweh, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Verse 28, Yahweh opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Verse 29, and Balaam said unto the ass, Because the ass mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, but now would I kill thee. Verse number 30. The ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? He said, Nay. Verse 31. Then Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Verse 32. And the angel Yahweh said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Verse 33. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Lest she had turned from me, surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. Verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of Yahweh, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. And therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again.
So you see, you got to know when you're hearing something, when you ain't hearing nothing. See, I know a lot of great women. I get a lot of advice from a lot of great women, even to this day. They know their way around the system and everything else. Get great advice. They got no, you know, but got far, you know, down to the ministry. See, that's a different field. I don't sit up on a woman in ministry. They sit up under leadership. But when it comes down to legal advice and all that stuff, the women, they sharp. They can see things, you know. And matter of fact, they bother to see things in the conversation that you ain't seeing them. And put it to the side and take it. So I got great respect for women. And I like women to be way smarter than me. For what the world concerned and all the legal advice and all, I love that. I like to, you know, I'm not a male chauvinist at all. I get some of the greatest advice from women even to this day on how to do a lot of things. Then come out of ministry for other things. You know, they got that ability. So I know when to. Because see, Yahweh opened the mouth of the jackass. And the jackass seen more than this man seen. So if he can work with a jackass, you know he can work with a woman. So you got to make sure you understand about leadership. I respect women's opinions every time I hear it. But the same token, I understand men run the congregation. But that don't mean a woman ain't got nothing to say. She got plenty to say. And I respect that. So you get them your best advice. Let me show you how to even work the most piece of telephone every now and then. I like that. I like knowledge around me here the way. I love it. But I understand what y'all are saying. And I understand the blessing you put on women, too. But he ain't put no blessing on a woman except if I'm on a man. Ain't no congregation. It ain't no blessing there. It's blessing when they can be able to do things, you know, in the ministry that help the ministry go forward. And I respect that. But you got to make sure you wipe the divide on what you hear. Got it? Good. I'm going to leave that right there. That's enough on that. Now let's go back to the fifth chapter. Because Deborah, she stayed around Mount Ephraim, and they came to her to get some judgment. Now we're gonna read a little bit more in verse 5:1, but this is the conversation going on in 5:1. We're gonna read a little bit and we'll get some understanding out of this thing. We're going to 5:1 down to verse 3 there, you know? This is this conversation in Judges 5:1, 2, and 3. This is this conversation we get ready to hear. Judges 5:1, 2, 3. What did it say, Earl?
Book of Judges, chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and verse 3 reads. Book of Judges, chapter 5, verse 1 reads. Then sang Deborah and Baruch, the son of Abinoam, on that day, said, verse 2. Praise you, Yahweh, for the vision of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Verse 3. Hear, O you kings, give ear, O you princes. I will sing unto Yahweh. I'll sing praises to the Yahweh of Israel.
Now, hold on. Let me get in there. So you hear what she said? She said, hear ye, O kings. Give ear, O you princes. Even I was saying unto me from Yahweh, and will sing praises to Yahweh of Israel. Now look at that, sounds pretty good. Let's read a little bit more what's going on in verse 7. Take the verse 7 and read a little bit more, yo.
Book of Judges 5, verse 7 reads. Judges 5:7. The inhabitants of the village they ceased in Israel, and to their eye Deborah arose, and I arose a mother in Israel.
Wait a minute, hold on, Elder. What did she say in verse 7 again, Elder?
The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel, to their eye Deborah arose, and I arose a mother in Israel.
So she said, oh, the leadership around here was kind of shady. She said the leadership around here, it was kind of shady around here. I, a mother of Israel, arose. So she was watching the leadership. It's kind of, she said, look here, the leadership is kind of shady over here. Now, it's very interesting. Now, let's find out what happened next verse 8. Well, let's
read
a bit more. So now let's see what you got going on. Verse 8.
They chose new false Yahweh, and was war in the gate. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel?
Hey, that's something. You hear that, Elder? He said, look at that. What they was doing, they was coming from another way. Hey, Mother Eve, and then St. John 10:1, she said, another way, Mother. He said all the leadership of the northern kingdom, they have come up another way. So, Mother, what did that, what was going on, and that Yahweh explained it in 10 verse 1, what was going on, Mother, in 10 verse 1? What did they do to come up another way? He said, I peeped this thing. All the leadership of the northern kingdom was come up another way. What that folks' name, Mother, was preached up 10 verse 1 of St. John?
St. John chapter 10 verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
So what is Deborah is calling the northern kingdom, Mother? What's she calling them? A thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. Y'all doing some up time. Y'all ain't worshiping the Yahweh of Israel. Y'all worshiping Diana or somebody. He's looking y'all out of order everywhere. So Yahweh couldn't deal with them just like this old jackass over here. This jackass seen more than Balak was seeing, Balaam was seeing. And the jackass told me, hey, man, have not been treating you right? No? Why you keep on whooping on me like this? I never rebelled against you when you doing the right thing. But you got death in front of you. So a jackass told him he got death in front of him. He's a God dog. See? That's what I'll say in a minute. Hey. She fighting the thing. So some of the best of women can fight some things for take it. You gotta know when you're hearing something. When they fight something, you're gonna check it out. So she fought of that northern kingdom. Was worse than slaying the devil. Okay, good. Now, that's enough dramatic on that. Verse 9. What's in verse 9, Hill?
Book of Judges 5. Verse number 9 reads. Judges 5. Verse number 9. My mind is toward the governor of Israel. That offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, Yahweh.
He said, my mind is to walk the governor, all the leadership of Israel. But they don't got shady on me. But he said, I'm for them. I'm going to try to get them back on their feet. You know, I got enough knowledge to try to help them get back on their feet. Not to keep trying to bump them off. He said, my mind is toward the governors of the northern kingdom. My mind is for them. I'm going to try to help them get on their feet. That's what she just said. I ain't going to get in front of them. I'm going to help them get on their feet because right now they kind of shady. Grab it verse 10, L.
Verse number 10. Think you that ride on white asses, he that sit in judgment, and walk by the way.
Uh-huh. She's talking the talk now. Verse 11.
Verse number 11 reads, they shall deliver from the noise of archers and the places of drawing water. That shall they rehearse the righteous acts of Yahweh, even the righteous acts, toward the inhabitants of this his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of Yahweh go down to the gate.
Hold that point. That's what you're saying? He said, look here. Look, y'all got to get right. We ain't got nothing coming unless you get right. That you talking some good talk. She's talking some tall talking. Watch what happened. And this is the conversation in verse 20. What happened in verse 12, yo?
Verse number 12 reads, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake. Utter song, arise, Baruch. Lead thy captivity captive, thy son of Ebenayim.
Hey, that's something. You hear what you said? She said, all right. Wake up, Barak. and do what? Lead the people. So she had to put the cables to him. She had to pump him up. Get on up, man. What's wrong with you? She wasn't going to lead anything. Pump him up. So you see what she did? The woman pumped him up to go and lead the and take care of his business. She stood up on the palm tree and put the cables to him. She didn't take the lead role. She woke him up, hey, at the pilot, you know, or beat his back a little bit, beat him on the back or something. Said, listen, leader. Get him up on what you're doing and take care of his business. Read that verse 12 again, El.
The book of Judges 5, verse number 12 reads, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter some, arise, Barak, and lead the captivity, captive, thou son of Ebenezer.
You see that? She went and got the signatory to wake up and get in this position. So sometimes the women have to, you know, not to taste out of one of them leaders' mouth every now and then to make sure they stand straight. And that's what she did. She slung a phone to him. Hey, man, get up. Pick at his business. What's wrong with you? That's what she said. And what happened, you know? Let's see, I need to get more on this. For time's sake, I'm going to leave that enough. That's enough. So, she had to put the cable to this brother. This brother here, he fell out so weak, he said, I'll go if you go with me. He said, well, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. But I'm not going to fight the battle. That said, you the leader. She said, get up. I'm going to sing, arise, Barak, and lead the captivity, the captive. Lead it. Wake him up, slap him on his nose, pull his nose, get the men in a position. And that's what God do today. So the women got to get the men in their position, but you see their blessing. Long the men out of their position and got old Jelly back on them, y'all probably going to pay him no level mind. So she has to wake him up, get up and take care of his business. And he did it. That's enough of that. That's enough of that for time's sake, y'all. Let's get another one, El. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And we'll read with it till we get our points. And they'll go here, but they'll go and do like Paul Peter said they do. They'll twist their understanding. These women wasn't to try to get in front of the man. They were trying to pump these men up to take care of his business. Because, and we'll get ready to read now, it was a death of one of the seers at that time. And they was confused about what's going on, and then something happened. I ain't gonna tell them about the story at the Bible telling them. And 2 Kings 22, figure verse 8, you know. Let's see if there's some understanding out of this right here. 22, verse 8, read a little bit.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse number 8 reads. 2 Kings 22, verse number 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, and found the book of the law in the temple of Yahweh. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse number 9. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servant had gathered from the money that was found in the temple. Now deliver it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the temple of Yahweh. Verse number 10. The Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, said, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read in it before the king. Verse number 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the word of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes, verse 12. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Eshahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Verse 13. Go you inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Yahweh Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahakam and Achbak, Safan and Asahiah, went unto Hilda the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Teba, the son of Arhash, keeper of the wardrobe, as she dwelt in Yahweh Judah in the college, and they communed with her. Verse number 15. And she said unto them, the son of Yahweh of Israel, tell the men that sent you to me. Verse 16. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Yahweh Judah had read. Verse 17. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other Yahweh, false Yahweh, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Verse number 18. But to the king of Yahweh Judah, which sent you to inquire of Yahweh, there shall you say to him, the same Yahweh of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Verse 19. Because thy mind was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before Yahweh, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, that sit by thy clothes and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, Seir Yahweh. Verse 20. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. That I shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king's word again.
And they brought the king's word again. And they brought the king's word again. Found the book in the temple. They didn't understand the book. They took it to the king. The king heard it said, God, dog, who can we in trouble? Because he knew that the dropping of the back gonna be beat would be him first. Because he thought the ministers were doing Yahweh's business. He said, y'all ain't doing Yahweh's business. I'm gonna end up getting my back beat. Who is carrying Yahweh's word? And they said, who carried Yahweh's word? 3 verse 14. And where is he at? They didn't find her in the temple. Where they found this woman that was carrying Yahweh's word? They found where was this overseer at, according to verse 14? What it said in verse 14, Elder?
The book of 2 Kings 22, verse number 14 reads, so Hilkiah the priest, and Ahakam, and Achbak, Safan, and Asherhiah went unto Hilda, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tibbok, the son of Hashash, for the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Yahweh Judah, in the college, and they communed with her.
Ain't that something? Y'all hear that? She dwelt at a college. So they went to a college to find her. They didn't tell her come to the temple and tell her. No, no, no. They knew, and she knew that she wasn't to run them out in the temple. She was at a college, and she told them what they need to know, just like the jackass told Balaam what he needs to know. Yahweh can work with anybody, but he always got it. Hey, Mother E, but he always got a 14:30 in 1 Corinthians, Mother. Hey, Brother E. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40.
1440.
Yeah, what is it saying, 1440, Mom?
Okay. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decent and in order.
You see that, Mother? So you see that, Mother? She wasn't, she didn't come to the temple and run the mouth. She was at a cottage, just like you might have to go before somebody. That's a woman. I might have to go by a woman somewhere and just make decisions on things. So you're going to say, I can't listen to you because you're a woman. Say, I'd be the biggest fool ever lived. No. I'm going to listen to you. Because he's just as grown up in the cottage. So they came to the cottage to listen to the woman. To tell us about some dust and not the temple. Because women is not to lead men in the temple. At the cottage that she was at, they came to hear what she had to say concerning Yahweh. Here, read verse 19, here. Verse 19.
Book of Second Kings, chapter 22, verse number 19, you read, because thy mind was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before Yahweh, for thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith Yahweh.
Yeah. So Yahweh spoke through her mouth. She didn't come down to see what they were doing over there when he rented his coat at the temple at the king's house. But Yahweh put it in her like he put it in the jackass. He told the jackass, look at it. The jackass turned around and they ran 2-3 times against the wall. He said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. Why you don't kill me? He said, I'm trying to save your life. Yahweh put a word in her mouth. He put the word in her mouth. What he did over there in the college, what he did in the temple, or the big, put a word in her mouth. She was at the college. So when men came there, Yahweh already informed her, hey, you know, some men coming to inquire about my business. You know, but now back there, back their way, they all out over there everywhere. They ain't doing nothing that I said to do. Don't put the word in your mouth to straighten them up. And since the king humbled himself and done everything he can by sending to you, I'm going to let him lead her through this thing. So she ran it down to him. So that's what's going on. Y'all got to stand right with the Bible thing. You know, so once you write with the Bible thing, you're in business. As long as you think you can just run them out, you're going to be out of business. So now we got that part out the way. Now, Mother, come back, give me one more verse in that 14 chapter. In that 14th chapter, Mother, what it says in verse number
38. But if any man be, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
If they're going to be ignorant, go and be ignorant by yourself. See, be ignorant by yourself. What did he say, Mother, that, what did he say in 1 Timothy 2, 1 Timothy 2, pick up verse 8. We'll read down to verse 15. Now, remember, Paul was raised from the womb, Mother. He was raised from the womb, and he's going to talk a little bit, Mother. Let's see what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 8 down to verse 15.
Okay.
Verse 2, chapter 2, 8 down to verse 15. What did Paul say raised from the womb?
Two.
First, and two.
But What was the verse?
Yeah, 8 down to verse 15. 8 straight on down to 15.
First Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up righteous head, righteous hand, without wrath and doubling. Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
I like manner also that woman adorn themselves in mourning and tears, with shame face and sober, not with broadened hair or gold or pearl or costly earrings. Verse 10, but which become woman, professing godliness with good works. Verse 11,
let
the woman know.
Read verse 10,
good work.
You got to have what, mother? What you got to have,
good
mother?
Work.
Good work. Okay. All right. Let's see what make a woman having good works. Verse 11.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Verse 15, notwithstanding, he shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and righteousness with sobriety.
Now, if they follow what's written in the Bible, they're going to be all right. They're going to be safe. He said they're going to be all right. If they do what I was raised when the woman tell them to do, they're going to be all right. Now he said, Mom, they're going to be all right, Mom. Now what did he say again? I want to reiterate on the word he said. Now, Paul's raising the woman to say what he's just saying. He just ain't talking no loose talk. He said, now, for the woman to be all right, sight of Yahweh, he said something, mother, that we need to read again. He said something, for a woman to be all right. This is what makes her all right. And that in the book of Timothy, too, mother, let's see what make a woman all right in the eyes of Yahweh. Let's see, can we read this again, mother, in 2. I'm struggling, mother. I'm 2. Let's see what it says I'm kind of struggling right there, mother. And 2, let's see what make them all right. Look at read verse 10 again, mother. 10 down to verse 12. Let's see what make a woman all right in the eyes of Yahweh. 10 down to verse 12.
Okay. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. But which becomes woman, possessing the wildness with good works.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all project. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usher authority over a man, but to be in silence.
You see that, mother? Now when you catch that spirit right there, what Paul was raising on to say, now you know you're working with them. So there go the rules and the regulations. Ready? It's 10 down to verse 12. There go the game changer right there. Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach. That's in the ministry, nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. There's up there, mother. Now we're gonna get a precept on that, mother, in the closing statement, mother. You're gonna get a precept in the closing statement. We're going to and get a precept on that, and we're going to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're gonna get a precept, mother. We're gonna get a precept now. Now the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, the one Yahweh left in charge. He heard Paul's writing, and let's see what he says in 3 verse 1. We'll read a bit till we get our point. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter verse 1. We'll read a bit.
First Peter
3, 1. Let's read a bit, see what we get out of this, mother. We're getting it's called a precept now, mother. Let's see what it says in 3 verse 1. We'll read a little bit.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, be wise, be in subjected to your own hope, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be wounded by the controversy, the conversation of the wise. Warned by the conversation of the wise. Verse 2. While they behold your conversation, coupled with fear, that's 3. Who adorned, let it not be that overward, adorned of.
That outward appearance. He said, oh, well, don't be all that glamour on the outer appearance. Don't exhibit so much out of appearance. What did you say about that outer appearance, mother? Come on, read with your mouth.
Okay. Who adorned, let it not be that out of tune, adorned of planning the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on a pearl, but let it be the hidden man of the mind in that it is not corrupt, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh of great pride.
So in the sight of Yahweh, he wants to want the women to have to be what kind of way, mother? According to the last 3 lines, you want to be what kind of way?
Meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh a great pride.
You see that, mother? So if you're pleasing Yahweh, if the younger women hear these things to please Yahweh, what kind of spirit do when you're teaching the young women? What kind of spirit you supposed to have, mother, according to the last 3 words, 3 verses?
A meek spirit.
Uh-huh.
A meek and quiet spirit.
Yes. And what do Yahweh think about that spirit, Mo? Meek and quiet spirit, what do Yahweh think about?
Okay. A great prize.
Which is in the sight of Yahweh, a great price. Which is in the sight of Yahweh, a great price, Mo. So when you talk to them young women, in the sight of Yahweh, that's a great price, and you got to be meek and quiet spirit. In his eyes, you're doing all right. So that's when you tell the young women, you're doing all right in the eyes of Yahweh. If you please Yahweh, then your spirit can be meek and quiet. In the sight of Yahweh, that pleases him. So if you want to please your Yahweh, you can have a meek and quiet spirit. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be meek and quiet. In the sight of Yahweh, that pleases him. Is that what we read, Mother? Can I get all of Yahweh on that, Mother, if we read that?
Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Where's that verse 5, Mother?
Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the righteous woman also who trusted in Yahweh adored themselves, being and subjected unto their own husband.
And what's that supposed to mean, Mother, verse 6?
Verse 6. Even as Pharaoh obeyed Abraham, calling him Yahweh, whose daughter ye are, as long as you do well and are not a threat with any amazement.
So when you're teaching the young women, when they get this Yahweh man, they supposed to call him what, Mother? In verse 6, what they supposed to call this Yahweh man? If they get them up 37-12, man, and that's what we preach, you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to call him. Call him what, Mother? You call him Yahweh? You don't call him that, that's B-A-N. You don't get mad and call him a B-A-N. Now, the definition to B-A-N, that what they do. They call, when they get mad, they call you a B-A-N, a band. But that B stand for something, A stand for something, and that N stand for something. They call you B-A-N. But you both really call the Yahweh man. What, Mother, in verse 6?
Okay. Calling him. Calling him. Yahweh.
Go ahead and read verse 6 again, Mother. Just go ahead and read verse 6 again.
Okay. I see it. I'm seeing it. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Even as Pharaoh obeyed Abraham, calling him Yahweh, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well. Mm-hmm. We'll need the whole thing.
And are
not afraid with any amazement.
That means you ain't worried about when you gonna say it. You're not gonna say it once you in the public, you're gonna say it in the private church. You gonna keep, you have the same spirit on you, where not where you do it as a front around the people's calling, calling him Yahweh, where everybody, you gonna do it privately and publicly. You gonna give that man that honor of being a Yahweh man privately and publicly. You're going to play your role all the way with meekness and quietness all the way. You ain't going to put on a face doing it. You're going to do it all the way. Now, give me verse 12, Mother, in the closing statement. Verse 12, the closing statement.
12. Well, the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh against them that do evil.
Ain't that something? So Yahweh, so he watches. He watching them those that talk a good game in public, but then behind the door, they number the hell raised. He watching them. Wait till I get you home. I'm going to take that skillet and go drive your head. You talked all that talk. I'm going to get you home. I'm going to skillet you by. I might even beat your back. Yeah, well, watch that, mother. He watched your spirit among the people and when the people are nowhere around. He peeps. He see you when you don't think he sees you. He see you in your sleep. He see you wherever he at, he sees you. He said, keep that spirit the same way in season and out of season. Don't be double-minded at no time. Because Yahweh watch. Pretty good there, mother. All right, mother, close 70 on the clock. Be back on airwaves tomorrow at 6 o'clock, so you might as well go and put a pile of clothes in. And tell them, hold on, mother. Tell them, hold on, the Bible is still going to be right. But tell them, hold on. Come on,
Mo. Okay. Thank you, praising y'all for the class. Thank you, praising y'all for the teacher. Thank you, praising y'all for being able to be in the class. And I want to say to the listener, hold on. Don't give up. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Your mother said, mother, don't give up. The Bible gonna stand, so we might as well just find out what the Bible saying. Because this thing, remember, this thing is this is some great stuff here. Because AL and we got a precept behind that one, 64 verse 4 of Isaiah, back to the 1 Corinthians 2:9. I need a back to back precept on that AL. That's what he's saying, it's what he told us here, 64 verse 4 of Isaiah. What he said that we can read Isaiah 64 verse 4.
The book of Isaiah 64 verse number 4 reads Isaiah chapter 64 verse number 4. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard the perceived by the ear. Neither have the eyes seen, O Yahweh, besides you, but he had prepared for him that waited for him.
So you let you know, I don't care what you got on the table. I don't care what you got on the table. What Yahweh got prepared for them that follow this book. Your eyes ain't never seen it. Your ears ain't even heard it. So I don't care how long the house you're in, the car you got, what Yahweh got prepared for you, you ain't got a clue on what he got prepared for you. So y'all make your choice. Either you going to get right with Yahweh now, or you want the blessings of the world today. But remember one thing he got written in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Before you read that 2 Corinthians 4:18, Elder, what it say we can read in 2 Corinthians 4:18?
Book of 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 18 reads, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
You see that? We got to focus in on what we don't see. Anything you see right now is temporary. You might have the big house. You might have the thick leg, and you might have the tall man with 14 shoes on. But all that temporality, that can go away. What you got to focus in is what you don't see. That's what you want to make sure you got right. So make sure you understand whatever you see now. temporary. The money, the job, the fame, the whatever it is, that's temporary. It's going to go away. What's eternal is you understand this word and being a doer of this word. 2 verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says what?
Book of 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9 reads, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor yet heard, neither have entered into the mind of man, the things which Yahweh prepared for them that love him.
You see that? You see that? And how do you love? How? See, you gotta know how you love him. You want, oh, I love me from Yahweh. You do? Well, he's taking 14, 15 down to verse 24. Hey, how do you love from Yahweh? And first, on St. John 14, 15 down to verse 24. Let's see how you love from Yahweh. Oh, I love my Yahweh. I love him. I love him. Okay, really? Let's see what he got written in 14, 15, and 24. Y'all, come on.
Book of St. John, chapter 14, verse number 15 to 24 reads. Book of St. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth them, but you have known him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19, in a little while, and the world seeth me not, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and you, and I in you. Verse 21, ye have my commandments, and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Yahweh, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but his, but the Father which sent me.
Let me preach up on that hill in 2 John. So John heard what he was saying. Beloved heard what he said. Let's see this beloved. And 2 John 1, verse 6, did he alter anything when he just got through here? 2 John 1, verse 6.
The book of 2 John 1, verse number 6 reads, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandments, that as you have heard from the beginning, you shall walk in it.
Mm-hmm. So if we got a little shadiness in us, Elder, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse, make it 3 down to verse 8. What does it say from 3 down to verse 8? 1 John chapter 2, 3 down to verse 8. What does it say to him?
The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 8 reads. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse number 4, he that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in them. Verse number 5, whosoever keepeth his word, in him, truly is the love of Yahweh perfected. If I know we that we are in him. Verse 6. He that saith he abide in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Verse number 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines.
Verse 24.
Verse number 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son. And in the Father.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You say everything that we've been talking about from the time of the broadcast is still on the table. Give me Titus chapter 2, 3 down to verse 13 and close the statement. Help. Excellent again, I'll help. Titus chapter 2, 3 down to verse 13 and close the statement. Help. Hey, that's your bottom grand sound, no doubt about it. Titus 2, 3 down to verse 13 and 12 statement. Come on, help.
The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse number 3 through 13 reads, Titus 2, verse number 3, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as they come in righteousness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Verse 7, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing our corruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse number 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Verse number 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not asking again. Verse number 10, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of Yahweh our Savior in all things. Verse number 11, for the grace of Yahweh that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying our Yahwehliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and Yahwehly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the great appearing of Yahweh the Son, our Savior.
Excellent. See, we went on the pens of our Yahweh, our Savior, but you have to remember one thing. You got to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. What kind of way? In the war. Elder Yahweh Israel, excellent again on your part. What's your problem statement is excellent. That's all the seer can say. Excellent.
Hallelujah. What? I'm going to read a little bit of Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, and it reads, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of Yahweh is. To the 12 tribes scattered to the four corners of the globe, Yahweh be with you, and Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So, we call this broadcast 6 nights a week, and all we material is to unlock the mindset of the 12 tribes of Israel. We're not anti-anybody. We're not connected with anybody. all we about is YHWH word, Yahweh's word. We come on the broadcast to enlighten the 12 tribes of Israel is scattered all over the world. Come back to Barbara's covenant. Come up out of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah. Pull all that down. Get up on the Yahweh Judah, the lead tribe. That's who the law has been told to and reiterated to them to teach you. It's time now to get in order. Support this ministry. Big piece of land, school, banquet hall, radio station. Get in where you've been in it and let's make it happen. The time is short. Like they just got through reading, it's easy. It's time now to roll the sleeves up for the higher calling in the four-letter name, not the temporary thing that you see. You got it? Good. So don't leave it like that. From the elder, from the mother, to the brothers on the international side, become humble. We mean you all the good in the world to show you what Yahweh thinks. But it don't work unless we get in order. We must get in order. What kind of order? According to the Bible. Take number 36, down on 4/21/2024. Go over the tape. Understand one thing. The blessing when you in order. What kind of order? The Bible order. Catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. From the mother, sisters, the brothers, and all the elders.
Why we gotta keep on fighting? What if I was gonna know I'd be safe in the center?